Appreciate God. Amen. Give him just one more minute. Be with us. It's good to let them read with us. Amen. All right. Verse number 1. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons." We'll stop reading there for sake of time tonight and ask the Lord to help us as we try to preach His Word. Father in heaven, we come before Your presence again today. We thank You, Lord, for being so good. Lord, You're greater and mightier and better to us than we deserve. And Lord, we want to thank You for that and praise You and give You glory. I pray now that You have touched, God, the reading of Your Word. Would You bless Your people tonight? God, if there's anyone here that's lost, I pray for conviction, power of the Holy Ghost. Show them their need of salvation. Then I pray for the saints tonight. I pray that You'd help us draw closer to You. Lord, would You shine some light in our lives, God, that You're trying to work on, that You want to do some things different with. And Lord, allow us, God, to see that. And then, Lord, help us to respond, God, as You deal with our hearts. I pray that You'd, God, not let us to be hearers only, but doers also. And Lord, I pray that You would touch Your Word. Pray for myself now. Pray that You'd fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost and a fresh touch, that I may help Your people tonight. Remember the things that we've studied, things we've learned. Lord, give us clarity of thought, clarity of speech. Lord, we may be pleasing to You as we try to preach Your Word. We thank You for all that You have done and what You're going to do, for it's in Your wonderful name we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated tonight. Thank you for standing in honor of the Word of God. We looked at this morning as we began our study in the book of Hebrews chapter number 12 and looked at the beginning of this chapter, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," realizing chapter number 11 is that great cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on and that have laid the example before us in that they had lived by faith. And so we have that great example. And then he says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Talking to the saints of God tonight, primarily how we need to lay aside the weights and the sin that slows us down, that gets us off track and off course, and continue serving God in this race that is not a it is more of a marathon than it is a sprint. We must do it in patience, and in doing that, we look unto Jesus, verse number 2, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross. And we looked in verse number 3 and preached this morning the beginning of the message, "Consider Him." Consider Him. And we mentioned the song, "Does Jesus Care?" And we concluded that in the verses, as we come to the chorus, the songwriter says, "Yes, He cares. His heart is touched with our grief." We looked at that this morning, "Does Jesus Care?" And we considered Him. We considered that He endured the cross of sin. And the Bible says in verse number 2 again, for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
and considering Christ in the fact that He endured the cross for our sin. And we considered Him and His bearing of the cross. And then we looked at considering Him and does He care as He endured the contradiction of sinners in verse number 3. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds, how that Christ endured not only the cross of Calvary, but He endured the contradiction of sinners, sinful men that crucified Him that day at Calvary when He was nailed to the old rugged cross. And does Jesus care? I believe we can see that He does in these two endearments of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we finish this morning in verse number 3 as we looked at Him enduring the crucifying of Himself. He says in verse number 4, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." And we looked at Him being in the Garden of Gethsemane as He began to pray and as He began to agonize and become in much sorrow that His sweat became as drops of blood. I went back today and listened to Brother Coates preach in Sheraton at 10 o'clock this morning since we were in Sunday school. And he was talking about Him being in the garden and Him looking like the red heifer as far as His appearance, because His sweat glands had begun to ooze the blood that He had in Him out from the agonizing and the sorrow, and reminding myself again that He did that not for our sin, but to keep Himself from sin. Agonizing with God and sorrowful of that cup and asking His Father, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done." Laying Himself on the line and allowing Himself to conquer the temptation of sin and falling into sin and the corruption of sin, so that He may be the crucified Lamb of God without spot and without blemish. And continuing tonight, we're going to look into this even more as we move into verse number 5. Considering Him, we considered His endurance this morning. Tonight, I want to consider His exhortation. His exhortation as we look at a few things tonight. The Bible tells us in verse number 5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him." The Bible tells us in verse number 5 that ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. This exhortation is not that of a lifting up, but it's more of a drawing in. And I'll explain that a little better here in just a moment. But He says, the exhortation which He gave us, which He spoke unto you as unto children. And here's what He said in the middle of verse number 5. "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him." Job chapter number 5 verse 17 says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." This was something that had been spoken in times gone by in the past, that they would have been able to read and understand that God does not overlook individuals, that He chastens them. And Job said it this way. He said, "Happy is the man whom God correcteth." Proverbs, Solomon said it in chapter 3, verse 11, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction." Verse number 12 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son, in whom He delighteth." Say, now preacher, don't forget, God does that correcting. God does that chastening. Don't forget, He said, listen, don't forget, or actually Paul is saying, "Ye have forgotten." Why is he saying this to those in the book of Hebrews, or the Hebrew children? Because remember, the children of Israel were God's people, and He dealt directly with the children of Israel in the Old Testament, and he said, serve God and God only, and he will bless you. And if you don't serve God, he's going to curse you. And so through the Old Testament, we find this time and time again, how they served God and then they backed off from serving God and they disobeyed God and began to do their own thing, and God would correct them and God would chastise them. Because why? Because God loves them. God loves them. Now, I'm trying to get to a specific area tonight, but in verse number 5, he says, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Here's what Paul is saying. He's saying, listen, Hebrew children, God does this chastening not to push you away, but to pull you in. To pull you in. The Hebrew word for this, or the Greek word for this, is it means to comfort. You take an individual that has been hurt, or a child that's fallen down, or gotten themselves a scratch or a cut, and they want some comfort and they want some help, and that individual runs to their mama or to their daddy to get that comfort and that help and that Band-Aid. Then they want mama to blow on it, or daddy to blow on it, or kiss it and make it better. And God is simply saying, don't forget, or you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Here's the thing tonight. We saw him endure things for us, and we consider him in his endurement. Tonight, we're looking at his exhortation. The first thing is not to forget his comfort. Don't forget his comfort. His chastening is a comfort to us because it reveals to us, first of all, that every son is a partaker. Verse 6 through 8. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. So, preacher, what are you saying? First thing I'm saying tonight in his exhortation is, don't forget that he does this because you are his son. You are his son. You are his daughter. If you're saved tonight, you are his. And so God said, don't forget that I'm going to do this because you're my son or you're my daughter. You are mine. You say, wait a minute. Why would he want to hurt us? We're going to get to that in a minute, but you better mark it down. If you're not getting whipped by God and you're sinning and getting by with it, then the Bible says you're a bastard and not a son. And that is not a cuss word, friend. That is English language. It's in our Bible. It is what it is, and it means what it means. And I'm going to say it this way. You look that word up, it means illegitimate child. Basically, a child born out of wedlock. And so without God being on an individual and chastening that individual and bringing the chastisement on them, remember this, he does it because you are his son. And I'll tell you this tonight as I begin to think about this and ponder the authorship of Paul as he writes this chapter out. He said, now listen, guys, we've got a great cloud of witnesses. There are watching you and they are cheering you on, and you as an individual need to lay aside the weight and the sin that is getting you sidetracked. You need to lay those things aside. And then he tells us what Christ endured for us. Because here's what we say. Well, you know, I've got to have this weight. Well, I need this thing. Well, I enjoy this thing. And in reality, it's just weighing you down. You can't serve God. You can't be all you need to be for God. And you're hanging on to something that's just slowing you down. And so he says, listen, lay aside that weight. Then he says, lay aside that sin. Lay aside that sin which does so easily. That sin that you keep pulling up and sin you keep hanging on to and that sin that keeps holding you down. And then he says, consider what Christ did for you. And we preached this morning. So we said he endured the cross. He endured the contradiction of sinful men, sinners, as they buffeted him, as they railed on him. And then he endured in the Garden of Gethsemane his own sin temptation. Now, he couldn't sin because he's God. He's 100% God. I understand. I agree with that. But I'm going to tell you something. He was so tempted. He was so tempted to just put an end to that, that it became so agonizing that his sweat became his blood. The angels had to minister to him. And then he says in the next verse, hey, listen, don't forget the exhortation that God has saved you and made you sons, and now he's going to chasten you. He's going to chasten you. Well, why would he chasten us? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Wait a minute. So you're saying if I don't chasten my children, I don't love them. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. You see, we have 6 kids, and each one of those kids are different. They have different character, different ways about them, but they all, at some point or another, have had to be chastened. And it had to be dealt with because why? Because we love them. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, my boy the other, was it Wednesday night, as we were up in the old building, and my girls were leaving, and we went, and they were going from the old building down to the car just beside this highway. I mean, it's a constant thing that you have to keep your eye on that 4-year-old boy who wants to just run all the time, because he doesn't know that white line means stop, but don't go that way. He doesn't know that. And I didn't have to do no chastening that night, but we had to keep a close eye on him. And if he had tried to cross that line, I'd have given him a warning. And if he'd have tried to do it a second time, I'd have given him a strong warning. If he'd have done it more than that, I'd have chastened him, Brother Matthew. Why? Because I love my son. I don't want him to go out there and get ran over by a car. Hello? So God says, I chasten you because why? I love you. I don't want you to get caught up in sin, because I know the agony of it. I know the sorrow of the temptation. Now, Jesus never experienced the judgment of sin because he never did sin himself, but he experienced the judgment of sin because of our sin. Preacher, what is that? The wages of sin is what? Death. And so Jesus knows what it's like to die. He knows that that is our life. If we get into sin, we will die. We'll die. Oh, preacher, now wait a minute. You see, this is spiritual death, and in the eternal realm, we preach this and explain, listen, the wages of sin is death. If you die without Christ, you're going to die, and you're going to go to hell, and you're going to die for all eternity. And that's true. But you better mark it down. If you sin willfully after the flesh, you will reap of the flesh corruption, and that corruption is always death. Something dying. That's just the way it is. Can I just say this? All of these drugs these individuals are thinking they're enjoying, it's killing brain cells, it's killing parts of their bodies. They're dying. Alcoholic beverages have killed more individuals in our life than anything else. Because why? Because it is a mockery to God, and God said that it will be death, it will be damnation to individuals. And so, listen, if you're a child of God tonight, you're really His, and you try to sip alcohol, He will chasten you because He loves you. Oh, yes. Because He loves you. Now, my children, every time we did that, chastening, they didn't think I loved them. Amen? And we'd say, that hurts me more than it hurts you. And it did. It hurts our heart. But the reality is we love them. And we know the outcome if we do not that chastening. So God said, I want you to consider Christ. Christ not only endured himself the things that he endured, but he is exhorting to you to comfort you to know, hey, wait a minute. He's chastening me right here, trying to get my attention right here. Why? Because he loves me. He loves me. You can turn around and shake your fist and say, leave me alone if you want to, but he's not going to because he loves you. As I was studying and thinking about this and making preparation, I thought, in the book of Proverbs, he explains to you how to correct a child. And this is word for word what he says in the book of Proverbs. Spare not for his crying. You say, well, wait a minute, what does that mean? Well, that means when you have a child, and I'll just use myself for example. When I get in a whooping, if I could be real loud, Daddy may slow down and stop earlier than if I was just to be quiet. Y'all with me tonight? Amen. So I can be loud, I can run in circles, and do whatever I need to do to get him to stop. But Solomon, with all of his wisdom, said, spare not for his crying. What he's saying is, Mom and Dad, you have the knowledge to know, if you'll pay attention, if you've done enough damage to get that attention, or if he or she's just crying to get you to stop. You have enough wisdom. You have enough knowledge. Brother Howell said it this way. He said, always make the chastening more severe than the pleasure of sin. That's the way Brother Howell used to say it. Always make the chastening more severe than the pleasure they had in sin. Preacher, why would we do that? Because we love them. Because we love them. Why would God do that for you? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. Listen, we have it in our minds sometimes that God's in heaven and he has saved us and he's waiting for us to mess up and he's just going to take us out of here. That's not the case. God in heaven loves us, saves us, and then he keeps us. And he will chasten you and chasten you and chasten you. Now see, in our earthly homes, we can get this understanding because sometimes we have children that are just hard-headed. I mean, all right, I'm one of those children. I'll just do it, get a whooping, and go on. It'll be okay. Now, when I was in 11th grade, we had in our school the rule that if you cheated, then you got a paddling. And the principal did the paddling. Just happened to be my dad was the principal. And I got a paddling every single day. And it didn't bother me one bit. I just kept doing it. Just kept doing it. But when I got born again, my dad didn't have to do no more paddling. God started doing the paddling. And I give God about as much time, hard time as I do him, my dad sometimes. God convicts, God chastens, God whoops, God corrects. Why is that, preacher? Because he loves us. Here's the good thing about it. He's long-suffering. My dad never did say, hey, I'm tired of whipping you. Get out. Just go do your thing. No, Brother Matthew, he was consistent. He stayed faithful to it. He stayed on it. He took care of business. And then he loved me like his son. Just kept loving me. Hey, listen, God is the same way. He chastens us because He loves us. Look at it again, verse number 6. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. There's some preaching right there, but I don't have time for it. We weren't His when we started this thing, but because of Christ, we become His, and He received us as His own son, and now He chastens us because He loves us. Verse number 7, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? He's dealing in verse number 7, not with the love of the Lord in chastening, but the endurement of His chastening. You say, well, preacher, God's been whooping me. Okay, then you better keep enduring it. Figure out what God's trying to get out of you. Figure it out. There's some weight. There is some sin God wants you to lay down and serve Him with your whole heart. That's why He's chastening you. That's why He's working on you. Figure that out. Endure that chastening of the Lord and get to the bottom of it, because every son is a partaker in verse number 8. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons? Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something. And the reality of it is, we were all illegitimate children at birth. But Jesus came by and said, hey, I want to adopt everybody. So I'm going to go ahead and pay the price. And you tell all these illegitimate children that if they want to be saved, they can. All they got to do is call upon me. And every illegitimate child, which is every sinner, which is all of the people that have ever been born, everyone had the same opportunity to be adopted by Him. God made a way so that we all could be sons and daughters of God. And God, if you are His, if He has saved you and received you, He will chasten you because He loves you. Lastly tonight, not only do we see every son is a partaker, we see the examples of his chastisement, verse number 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, as and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Well, what he's saying in verse number 9, we're going to complete this chapter, this verse, and run to the end as quickly as we can for sake of time. He's saying, now listen, you and I have experienced earthly fathers that have done the same thing. They whipped us, and because of that whipping, we feared them and we reverenced them. You know, when Daddy did that, if your dad did that, or if your mom did that, if my dad did that, I know it was my dad. I've heard sometimes in times past, I won't make no mentions of any names, but I've heard dad's whistle. And I've watched their child. Look, that's reverence. Ooh, daddy's watching. God said, listen, you have experienced earthly fathers of the flesh that have done the same thing, and you have reverenced them because you didn't want that to happen again. Now notice what he says in verse number 10. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. So see, daddy said, listen, I want you to sit over there and I want you to be quiet. I got a headache, or I don't feel like hearing you scream and yell and run and play. It's their own pleasure. And so, you know, if they don't listen to you, then you're chasing them. And everybody in the building's like, oh, that's horrible. Hey, if you got kids, you have whipped them after your own pleasure. And if you're not a whooper tonight, then you've put them in timeout or something. Amen. God's true. Every man's a liar. I'll take his word. But the reality of it is he's simply saying, listen, they did it for their own pleasure. Look at the rest of this verse. But he for our profit,
that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, preacher, what is this? From verse number 10 to the last verse, verse number 29, Paul has laid out a foundation for the Hebrews that, hey, listen, you have weights and sin that is slowing you down, that's getting you sidetracked, getting you off course. So I want you to consider Christ for just a minute and remember what He endured. He endured the cross. He endured the contradiction of sinners. He endured crucifying Himself so that He could be qualified to be your sacrifice. But then He exhorted you. In the Old Testament, He spake and said, listen, I will chasten every son that is mine. And so He says, don't forget what Solomon said. Don't forget what Job said. He said, God will do this. And then He shows us in the New Testament, every son will be chastened. If you're getting by tonight, you need to check up because you're not a son. But if you are being whipped tonight because of some weight or some sin, Paul said, listen, I want you to pay real close attention. He's doing it because, number one, He loves you. He loves you. He's doing it because He loves you. But number two, because He wants you to end up in the right placement when you meet Him. What is that placement? Look at that last word again. That we might be partakers of His holiness. Partakers of His holiness. What is Paul talking about? Paul's talking about when we leave this world and we face Him face to face. When we meet Him face to face. When we get to heaven, when we get to that place. I want to read all of these verses to you and let you see what He's talking about. The Bible says in verse number 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. It's never fun when you get chastened, but it is grievous. It is not joyous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Preacher, what is it? Hey, it's just like your earthly fathers. They chasten you, they correct you, and then you straighten up for a little while. I mean, most of our children, if it was a specific thing that they were doing and they had gotten chastened over it a few times, you would notice for a week or two, maybe a week or two, they'd straighten up. And that particular thing, they'd fix it. And then, you know, later on it may sneak back out because they are flesh just like I'm flesh. But He says, listen, He's chastening you because He loves you. He wants you to end up well. And in that chastening, it's grievous. But if you'll endure the chastening of the Lord, it will produce a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Verse number 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths up for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Wait a minute. What is this? I believe everybody knows what I'm talking about. I mean, I live in a small world and I think everybody's been treated the way I've been treated. And so when Daddy whipped us, we walked out like this. Amen. And He said, now listen, you've been chastened of the Lord, but when that chastening's over and you get that peaceable fruit of righteousness, lift up your hands. Why? Because I'm His. Oh, He straightened me up again. Thank you, Lord, for helping me out, letting me remember, reminding me that I need to live in righteousness, and the peace is running through my heart that I am Yours and You are mine, and thank You so much for loving me. And Paul said, now watch this and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, remember that weight and sin? Here's what you did. We're just going to carry both of them around. The weight and the sin.
and you pick it up and you carry it for a while, and then he chastens you and you say, I put that down. Yeah, I'm going to serve you again. Hallelujah. What he's saying is make your path straight. Lay those things down. Finish that. Get it over with. Put it down. Quit looking at it. Quit going to it. Just get over and move on for the glory of God. Make your path straight. It would be better for you to be healed than to be lame. And what does he mean by that? That means if you keep on picking it up and keep on picking it up, keep on picking it up, it's going to hurt you. It's going to lame you. You see, if my son keeps running out into that road and I don't do anything about it, but I try to chase him out there, there's probably going to come a day where he gets out there before I do. He's going to get damaged. And what God's saying is, look, lay that thing down and be healed of it before something bad happens. Well, preacher, how do I know? Because if you're his, he's going to chasten you about it. He's going to whip you. He's going to get your attention. And I can promise you this, you are not going to say, what was that for? I mean, I know we're flesh, and I used to sit on the right-hand side with my dad. My dad sat on that corner. We all had to sit here. And every now and then, he'd reach over and either pop you on the leg or pinch you under your arm or something. And be like, what? What? Quit talking. Oh, was I talking? yeah. You know you was talking. But see, with God, it's not that way. You may say, what? For a second, but you're going to know. I'm going to pick that back up again. I'm going to pick that back up again. Or maybe you've passed one thing, one way and one sin, and you're on to another one. Because our life is a constant battle. It's constant warfare. And there's always temptations. There's always these things popping up. Weights. Listen, when I was a teenager, the best thing we had for Nintendo was a Nintendo. So if you played Mike Tyson and beat everybody, then you had nothing else to do. And Mario was boring. And Duck Hunt was boring. Amen. And so, I think about it today, I'm thinking, my goodness, they walk around today and they don't have to be at home, they don't have to be on their couch, they don't have to have the remotes in their hand, they've got it in their hand all day long and a constant bombardment of weights. Games, social media, God help you if you do that stuff. I can promise you that is a weight, period, point blank. If you're in that stuff, it's a weight, and you're probably going to get in trouble with it. But the reality of it is God will whip you, and you'll know what the problem is. And you may lay it down for a while, but if you pick it up and keep doing that, doors are coming today where you're probably going to get lame because of that. But God loves you. God's long-suffering. And so He'll keep chastening you. And He'll keep chastening you. And He'll keep chastening you. Trying to get you to live 100% for Him. Because why? Because of righteousness. He says, lift up the hands which hang down. The feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. Let it be healed. Just put it behind you and move on. Just move on for the glory of God. He says in verse number 14, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. He begins in verse number 14 to talk about the purpose of this chastisement. It is when we see Him. Now the Bible explains to us that we are washed with the water of the Word and that water is preparing us for the bridegroom, that we may be without spot and without blemish when we meet Him. And so through the washing of the water of the Word, we stay in the Word of God, and through the Word of God, we learn how to live for God, how to lay aside the weight and the sins, and we begin to push forward. And when we get a little sidetracked, He chastens us. He wants us to lay down everything, go on for the glory of God. And here's what He's saying. Verse 15, look diligently lest at any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And you say, what's going on? He's just simply saying, listen, when you get saved by the grace of God, God is going to chasten you because He loves you. And if you want to consider something, consider Jesus Christ and what He endured for you, and then what He has exhorted you to do, and how He chastens you because He wants you to stay faithful until you meet Him. Don't be like Esau and sell out your birthright. Now I'm going to say this. We're not losing salvation, but you will sell out your life at an early age if you do not heed the chastening of the Lord. Because God doesn't put up with sin so long. The Bible says if a man willfully sin after the flesh, then He will turn him over to the destruction of Satan to destroy the flesh and to save the soul. And so eventually God is going to turn you over. You do not lose your salvation, but you do lose a portion of the life you could have lived for the Lord. So God says, listen, I want you to continue to work on this holiness, this righteousness, because you're going to meet me. Now I want you to continue to read with me. I'm trying to hurry. The piano player can come on and come. Get ready. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mountain that might be touched, and that burn with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the words should not be spoken. Talking about? He's talking about when Moses in the book of Deuteronomy went to God on the mountain, and God said, I'm coming down onto the top of the mountain, and there's a perimeter around the bottom, and they are not allowed to come near it nor touch it. And so they had a period of 7 days where they got right with God, they prayed, they cleaned themselves, they got prepared for the Lord. Moses went up into the mountain. The Bible says that the Shekinah glory came down on the mountain, and that God began to speak to Moses in such a thunderous voice that the people said, Moses, please let God stop talking. Because why? Because they exceedingly fear and quake. Verse number 21, look at it. And so terrible was the sight. The word terrible right there doesn't technically mean the way you and I think about the word terrible. That is the same word as awesome. It's such an awesome, fearful sight that God in His glory is here that we want Him to stop talking. Because we're so afraid of His power and of His might, of His holiness, of His glory. We want Him to stop talking. What He's saying is, ye are not come to this place. You and I haven't experienced this place where God came down, talked to Moses. We have not seen this kind of glory of God. All right, so look at verse number 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, hallelujah, that's us, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, see that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. You say, preacher, what is this? This is just showing you and I that there's coming a day where we are going to be not on the earth around the mountain. We are going to literally be in his presence. The church. The church. Men. Just men made perfect. We're going to be in his presence. And so what God is saying is in Hebrews chapter number 12, lay aside the weights and sin. And when you get to struggling and when you get to having a hard time, consider him. Consider him. He endured the cross. He endured the contradiction of sinful men. He endured the crucifying of himself. But he exhorted with his words, I'm going to love you. Because I love you, I'm going to chasten you. Because there's one day coming when we're going to be together. You're not going to be on earth and me on the mountain. We're going to be together. And I want you to be holy. Now, preacher, we can't be holy. Well, I agree with you. We have a flesh, and the flesh rises up and it wars against us. But Jesus said it this way. He said, be ye holy as I am holy. So what he's saying is, you and I ought to be striving to be holy. We ought to strive to be perfect, which is a mature Christian. Many adults today, we don't just trip over small things. I mean, we got out of the truck Friday morning at Anchor, and my boy, he probably didn't take 12 steps, and on the ground. And guess what? It was a mud puddle. I turn around, and we're in the parking lot. It wasn't like he had to jump over a tree or anything. Well, he just fell down. So what did I do? I mean, I didn't whip him. He didn't do it on purpose. Brother Matthew, he just tripped. There's a little hole. Evidently wasn't paying attention, just right in that hole. But as adults, it's very unlikely that we're going to fall because of a little hole in the middle of a parking lot. It ought to be that way, spiritually speaking, that you can handle some things of this life without falling. And God said, hey, listen, I know you're made of flesh, and so when you pick up the weight or you pick up the sin, I'm going to chasten you. And I'm not going to chasten you because I hate you. I'm going to chasten you because I love you, and I don't want you to miss living a holy, righteous life. And so he exhorts us, endure the chastening of the Lord because he endured for you. Remember his exhortation that you are his, and because you're his, that's why he's chastening you, and he wants you to be like him, a holy, righteous Christian. Lay down your life as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable sacrifice. Let's consider him. Let's all stand, our heads bowed, our eyes closed tonight. As she begins to play, altars are open. There may be somebody tonight, if you were honest with the Lord, say, you know, I know that you've been working on me, Lord, about this or that. And I want to come tonight. I want to lay it on the altar. I want to lay aside the weight, lay aside the sin, lay aside those things. doth so easily beset us. I want to make my path straight. I want to lift up those hands that's been dragging. I want to walk with strong knees and not feeble knees. I want to make sure that I do not get lame from carrying these things around. Hey, listen tonight. You need to mind the Lord. You need to come. You need to respond tonight as the Holy Ghost is dealing with your heart. You mind the Lord while she plays.